Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Oh, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on Yield Bros. I'm Ronnie, and that is Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Everybody, welcome. It's Southern Hospitality Day for us over here. You can stream the Golden Crappies, which was fabulous. That was our big Broadway show, and you can it still. You can get tickets for that to stream it for the next 2 weeks over on watchwhatcrappens.com. We will release the audio of that after 2 weeks, but the video, that's the only way to see it, is to stream it. So go check it out. We had a great time over there, and this week we're going to be in Salt Lake City and Denver to do Salt Lake City and Southern Hospitality. So we hope you guys can make it and get dates for all of our other nights over at watchwhatcrappens.com, tickets and all that good stuff. Also, this is video, as usual. We're on Patreon. If you don't want to pay for Patreon, it's okay. You can watch these a week later for free over on YouTube. Just find us, Watch What Crappens, over on YouTube, and just a zillion videos over there. So have fun. Also, what was the other thing? Traders recaps are also on Patreon. That will be out tomorrow. So let's get into some Southern Hospitality, Ben.
Oh my God. Another great episode of this like wonderful, wonderful show. So previously on Southern Hospitality, Joey Marbles and TJ were having a conversation because they haven't been talking to each other this season. And now they are like talking. And where we left off is that Joe acknowledged that like one night he got like really drunk and like he made contact in bed with, you know, TJ, but he like thought like maybe he was like his girlfriend or something like that. And then TJ's like, but it meant a lot to me. So we're sort of broaching a potentially gay moment between the two of them.
We don't know what it was still. Okay. What was it that happened? Joe makes it sound like he says I touched you. And I feel like if he did, I don't know. That sounds like diddling. You know what I mean? Because if
it sounds like diddling
because he would normally say, so I cuddled with you a little bit in bed. So this all week I've been like, was it a handy? Like what happened? You know, was it a blowy? I need to know. It's none of my business, but it's on TV. So you guys need to tell me. Don't just give me some parts. Okay. It'll be as much not my business if I find out if it was a blowjob than it is knowing that you just touched him. Like, I need to know what it is. So anyway, TJ's like, well, but that happened to me. And then you distanced yourself from me. And that really hurt because I felt like you kind of disowned me. And he's really sad. And he's like, you feel like I did what to you? I don't know that word. So
I'm concussed. And he's like, I just feel like there's like been a lot of distance. He's like, well, here's the hard truth. Since then, that rumor has been played on for like 3 years when people are like, oh, we heard from TJ that you're gay. And then we cut to a clip of Austin saying, oh, yeah, I heard that. I heard that Joe's gay because TJ told me that Joe's gay. He's like, I mean, if I were gay, like that'd be fine. But I'm not. Like, maybe I called up to you thinking, like, when I was blackout drunk, thinking you were, like, my girlfriend or something like that.
He's like, but that's not my fault.
Are you saying I have man boobs?
What?
Are you saying I have man boobs?
He's like, but that's not my fault. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, like, where my feelings lie and, like, my sexuality. But, like, that's something we've always kind of, like, not talked about, you know? And he goes, yeah, we never talked about it. And TJ's crying now. And he goes, yeah, we never talked about it. But, like, nothing happened, you know? And so TJ is... TJ looks like he's calculating here on like, what do I, like, how much do I say here? You know? So Joe's like, but in your mind, it might've been different. And I apologize for that. So basically it's like, it was just a cuddle and that's it. you know. So TJ is like, well, in the past, I've had a lot of experiences with straight guys like Joe, but the difference is I wasn't their friends. And so I didn't have to see them every day, you know. I'm like, they don't make me decipher what they're trying to say because half of it's inaudible. So
basically what TJ is saying is, I've had a few too many guys who are quote unquote straight, like behind closed doors, suddenly want to do like get some hanky panky, do some diddling. And so he thought this was like another situation like that. And so it really kind of like messed him up. And I guess my question is, like, the only reason why people know that this happened is because obviously TJ went and told everyone. And is that appropriate for TJ to do that or not? On the one hand, like he said last week, aren't I allowed to talk about things in my life? On the other hand, like, we know it's not cool to out people. If Joe were gay, it's not cool to out people. Where do you stand on it, Ronnie?
I mean, obviously, it's not cool to out people. I get what TJ's saying, that, but he's going around saying, well, don't date him, he's gay. Well, that's outing somebody. And also, you don't know that he's gay just because some guy, like, I've had sex with guys who aren't completely gay, and it doesn't mean that they're gay, you know? So I don't know. I mean, It's like back to kind of a don't kiss, don't tell. But I do think that people demonize it a little bit more than kiss and tell because it's gay. That could, you know, hurt people, especially in Charleston and stuff like that. But, like, you're obviously fucking around with the mouth of the South. So, I mean, I don't really know what you were expecting. But, I mean, obviously it's not right to out somebody. But I do see what TJ is saying. Like, it was my experience, too. And I should not have to, like, keep everybody else in the closet just because you feel closeted or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also, like, deeper than that, I get what TJ is saying, where you're just so fucked up. And what is real and what's not real? And is it just sex? And if it's not, and if it's one of your best friends, you know, I've been in a situation like that before where it was really hurting my feelings. And that guy didn't really know it was hurting my feelings. And all these years later, I don't really blame him. But at the time I was like, what the fuck? You're leading me on. Whereas he was just thinking of it as like, especially straight-ish or bi people think, gay people have this life where we just will fuck everything, or it's like a very promiscuous lifestyle. So what do they care if it was just a cuddle? It's nothing compared to everything else. And it's not just about the sex, because the sex does mean, I think to me, it means less than the actual relationship part. So I can have sex with whoever and not ever think anything about it. But if I have a little relationshipy kind of energy with somebody, then that's what really confuses me. Because it's hard. You know, you have to think, like, straight people get all this experience dating, and gay people really don't get that experience when we're kids. We don't get it when we're in high school. We don't get it before that, you know? So we don't really know what it's like. And I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying a lot of us, especially, you know, later generations, didn't really have the same experience growing up where it was just okay to be gay. So most of us were closeted for a long time, and we have kind of, you know, suspended learning, you know, you're kind of suspended in time. So I get where TJ's from, but no matter what he went through or what his feelings are, of course it's not cool to go around telling people that Joe's gay, you know?
Yeah. I feel bad for TJ. I feel like he is, he does deal with a lot of like bullshit down there. I think with a lot of repressed people, it probably toys with his emotions, but I think it's also like not cool to tell people, oh, like, Joe is gay, so don't go after him. Because it's also like it's not 1995 anymore. I think we have more of awareness that like there's a very nuanced spectrum, and like it could be that Joe, I don't know, maybe he was experimenting, maybe he's figuring something out, but he may still like, I would never tell someone don't date someone because they cuddled me. Like, I just don't think I would.
And I think even if he'd said, don't date somebody because he cuddled me, that would be more acceptable than saying, don't date him because he's gay. You don't know that he's gay.
I would say literally don't date him because of his personality. I mean, that's like the strongest point there that TJ has, but that's fine. So TJ
he's a cute little personality too. So I don't know.
He also can be a real shit stirrer too. So let's not forget that about Joey Marbles.
No.
But that being said, I thought this was a very sensitive scene. And I thought that Joey Marbles was actually very sensitive to TJ's needs in this moment. Because I think what we really see is that TJ did really kind of fall for Joe. I think there was like crossed cross wires and stuff like that, mixed emotions, mixed messages. And I think that Joe was really actually supportive of his friend in this moment. He sort of could see that TJ had been going through a lot based on this. And so Joe was like, yeah, and by the way, like, me rage texting you, I was like fucking her. And like, you know, to hear that TJ is carrying this thing that happened 3.5 years ago, it really upsets me, because I also know what it feels like to have feelings for someone for years. And I hope that now he can get past it. Now that we're talking about it, what I'm basically saying is that, like, I now know what it's like to be DJ Matty Reese. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So basically, TJ's like, well, you're allowed to be hurt, you know, and I probably deserved it. I deserve that message. He goes, you didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve it, bro. But the rumor, like, fuck with me, you know, because, like, I care about what people think about me. Have you seen my blow dryer? I mean, it should have been a wake up call, you know, but I want to be a better friend now. So
I did like this from Joe. Will you blow me? Speaking of blow dryers,
you want to blow me? Will it make you feel
better? Most reality stars, they do the whole, I don't give a fuck what anyone says about me. I do what I want. I don't care. He's like, I care what people think about me. I only did it because I wanted to cover up, because I'm like really afraid of what people might think about me. That's all.
It's an oddly self-aware. There are some oddly self-aware people on this show. I mean, there's still like delusional, crazy people too. Looking at you, Emmy. Love you. But a lot of people say things about themselves and I'm like, wow, this is really is kind of a self-actualized kind of a generation in a way. Okay, let me not get too far. We're on Southern Hospitality. So he's like, but I do want to feel like I can trust you, TJ. And he's like, well, I mean, that's how I feel too. So clearly. All right, everybody. I just went on a date with Joe. So I'm just kidding. So Joe's like, yeah, we'll figure it out, you know. Let's take baby steps. He's like, okay. And by the way, if I unblock you, am I going to get all the messages that you sent me? And he's like, oh, I don't know if that's how it works, but I hope not. Cause
he's like, I've been texting you every day. So they hug. It's really nice. And TJ feels like there's a weight lifted off his shoulders and everything. And then Joe goes outside and Maddie is there. It's like the mom at school pickup. It's like, did you have a good time at chess club? Okay, get in. So he gets in and he's like, oh my God, I've got like the hottest Uber driver of all time. You know, it was like a really hard conversation, but it went well. Yeah, it went well. Okay, Joe. And you took accountability? Yeah, we did. Okay. And did he apologize to you? Yeah, I did. Okay. Because for years you told me like not to give you a chance because you were gay. Okay. Don't forget that. Okay. Be mad at him again. Okay. We're going home, Joe. It's like, okay, that sounds good.
So now we go to Siobhan and Molly at their place. And Siobhan's like, I was running errands today. I ran into Emmy. And I feel like she wanted someone to talk to. And I was like surprised because we chatted. And it was in a grocery store. That was nuts. Like, what?
She's like definitely very hurt. And she was just like messy. And she said, I think the word she used, hold on. It was betrayed. Betrayed? Oh, my God. And then we go to TJ's apartment, and Brad texts asking how it went. And TJ lets Brad know it went really well. Everything, they're going to, like, get better and everything. And now we go to Lake and Michael's playing tennis. And it's this, like, another classic people who don't know how to play tennis playing tennis on Bravo scene.
Yeah, something to do. So then they talk about Emmy, and he still hasn't talked to her. He's like, I reached out to her this morning and she did not even respond to me. I mean, she's upset, but like, I'm hurt because the one time I tried to come with her to come to her with my concerns, she didn't even hear me. Yeah, but like you did it. I mean, the first time you did it on the bench and she did listen to you, even though she denied everything. But then the second time you kind of did it in front of every single person on a vacation. Like, who the fuck does that?
And,
you know?
And this is what it sounded like. This is like, okay, this is everyone around the table. Emmy, your boyfriend is saying that like you're the worst and you're boring and you're annoying. He doesn't like you at all. So she's like, guys, stop. He loves me. He loves me. And Michael goes, relax. Relax. Do not get frustrated. I'm like, maybe not the most approachable tone. Although to be fair, they're all in the right and she is in the wrong in this case.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, if your relationship is suffering and your friends tell you, I mean, who's really the problem here? You know? And she's like, is she coming tonight? And he goes, yeah. I mean, she needs to keep her personal feelings aside at work and just like focus on working and like get her job done, you know? Those letters don't put itself on the birthday sign themselves.
Lake is like, yeah. Wait, do they? So then now we have Will and Emmy. They're going to go on a date. And Emmy's like, this Lake House dinner, that Lake House dinner was like so awful. And it was like traumatizing. I mean, like everything kind of like crumbled. So like now I'm alone. And the only person I want to be around is Will. And Will's like, oh God, why did you guys have to confront her? Now she only wants to be around me.
It's like, please. She put an air tag in my wallet and told me if it ever leaves, she's going to kill me. So they're doing like a boat date. And she's like, oh my God, look at us. We're on a date. This is so crazy. We're so happy. Like, I know people think that women from the South just want like a wealthy husband who's like a lawyer, like put a ring on their fingers. They don't have to do anything. And like, oh, we'll just turn a blind eye and they can do whatever they want as long as we get our Botox. But it's totally not like that. My dad pays for my Botox. And like, literally, it's not like that. Like, he is obsessed with me. Okay. He like wants me. I'm no pushover. Okay. I'm seriously not.
Everything is great. We're having a great time on this boat. I'm so relaxed right now, even though my entire body is tense, because I totally believe that Will loves me. This is a great time. We love each other. Oh my God. Charcuterie platter. Charcuterie, charcuterie. So she makes all the charcuterie stuff. And Will's like, wow, this week has been crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know when you're trying to, by the way, Will, you know when you're trying to tell someone the truth and you feel like you're screaming it from the mountaintops and like no one's believing you? I'm like, yeah. Like when he went to Republic and was like, I hate Emmy.
Yeah.
I think he's done this.
Yeah.
I think he's been in your boots before.
I mean, they just have their own narrative in my relationship. And like, it's like pissing me off. Like, here's a cracker. I'm the mustard. You're the honey. It's delicious together. Am I all right? Look at me. I'm eating a lot. Are you happy with me? Oh, so delicious. I love eating. And he's
she's made like six stacks of charcuterie on crackers at this point, just like frenetically, like, I'm happy.
He's like, baby, I'm just so sorry you're being attacked, you know? Like, I just feel guilty because like I kind of had a part to play in that. You know, yeah, Will, a little bit. And I was like, well, what people don't understand is like Will is like head over heels. Like he is like dead in love with me. I have to check for a pulse sometimes. I'm like, are you dead? Are you that much in love? He's still alive. That is how in love with me he is. Obsessed. I mean, he kisses the ground I walk on.
You're literally on a boat. You're not walking. You're not even on the ground right now. He's like, oh my God, I'm sick of the ground. I don't want to kiss the ground anymore. So Emmy is like, I'm happy. I'm very happy. And you make me very happy. He's like, yeah, I really don't think I would have been able to have gotten through this year of law school without you. And like, I mean, to have someone who delivered me a plate of charcuterie every single day, like that was really nice. It really helps me get through law school. And sometimes it just feels like you're the only person that like cared that I was even having a hard time over there. She's like, yeah, well, 2 years from now, you'll be graduated law school and you'll be a lawyer and you'll be studying for the bar and I'll be working at a bar and we'll be like Bar and Bar, you know, the law firm of Bar and Bar, you know what I'm saying? Which is funny because you're going to be a lawyer. Anyway, what's your plan? We're going to stay together forever, right? Huh? Yeah.
It's like, I can just see it so clearly. I'm going to have like a highfalutin job. I'm going to have a highlighter behind my ear. I'm going to have like a couple of like kids. I'm going to be with someone. I can't really see their face, but she's pregnant. She's going to have the most beautiful children for me. It's like, well, I mean, hello. You're supposed to say you see yourself married to me. It's like, I think it's probably you. It's a lady, blonde hair, thin. Uh-oh, I just saw her eat a sandwich. So I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be you. Let's not worry. Let's not think about it right now.
So she says, well, let's rephrase that. He goes, yeah, no, that came out totally wrong. Like I want you as my hot wife, or someone like you, maybe someone with a different name and just a different person, but you know, it like in the Emmy mold, but maybe not you though. She's like,
but here's the thing. I have seen in my visions, I do have a wife, but then I also still do see you there. So listen, at the very least, you'll be a hot mistress. No.
Would you be opposed to making charcuterie for me and my future wife? Because then that way we could still make this work.
I can bang you on charcuterie delivery days at the very least while we wait for the kids to get home from school.
So like every day, because I'm going to bring you charcuterie every day. I know you love me.
So she's like, well, thanks for saying that because I totally knew what you meant. Well, totally knew. Happiness. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Wedding bells. My favorite song is playing right now. God, I love that they're playing that on this boat. I mean, wedding songs on a boat. It's like, it's coming from your iPhone. Damn it.
Emmy,
can I strain this? Do you guys use AirPlay?
Emmy, look at the signs. They went on a romantic date and they went under the Ravenel Bridge. Okay, there could be no greater sign of doom for your relationship than going under the Thomas Ravenel Bridge, okay?
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980, when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer Elle Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Molly, meanwhile, everyone's getting ready for work. And Molly's like, wait, Emmy's not here. And she's like, hey, Lake, get over here. Yeah? Where's Emmy? And Michael's like, Emmy? I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. But the show must go on regardless. Okay, Barnum and Bailey, let's relax. Okay, you guys are serving like margaritas to a bunch of out-of-town tourists who just want to see where Southern Hospitality is filmed. This is not like a high wire act.
Yeah, and Michaels is like, yeah, like a no-call, no-show. There's nothing bigger than that. There's no bigger way than that to disrespect me. No call, no show. I mean, no one would do that. Not as your only friend, but as your manager. I mean, this is just fucking bullshit. I can't. I'm so not heard right now.
Yeah, no call, no show. It's like they're all like scandalized and they're all like, oh my God, I can't believe that Emmy is a no call, no show. She's a no call, no show. Is she really a no call, no show? Are we sure she's just not a no show, no call? No, she's a no call, no show. I can't believe Emmy no call, no showed.
And Maddie's like, oh my God, I'm doing so much work right now, Siobhan. Do you think that I should like call Emmy and be like, are you okay? Are you good? Like, no call, no show? Who even are you right now?
Siobhan's like, I know. And Maddie goes, the worst thing you could do in hospitality is no call, no show. I swear to God. L-O fucking L.
I mean, it's weird for her. Do you know what I mean, Siobhan? She's like, yeah, I saw her the other day in a store. Did she call? Did she show? But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's totally not like her, you know? Like, I know she's going through shit. Like, she really needs time off. But, like, you know, we're all picking up her slack. This is really hard. Like, I had to light a sparkler by myself.
And then they start like, okay, well, I guess, you know what? The show must go on, ladies. The show will go on. And then they put no call, no show on the big sign. I was like, wow, they are really serious about this.
So then the girls are doing the VIP sign thing. And then Lake is going outside and she's just like, oh my God. And we hear Emmy go, we're just strolling on by. You didn't see us. Me, happy Abby. Do you hear that? It's wedding bells. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Future lawyer's wife.
Guys, Lake runs inside. She goes, guys, I have an update. She's not a no call, no show. She's a no call show, but outside show. She did an outside show. She walked by show. It's like, oh my God, she did a no-call outside show? That's terrible.
Yeah, so she's running around telling literally every single person. It's like the guy carrying the ice, the bar back. She's like, oh my God, I just saw Emmy outside. She's like there. She like passed by. Oh my God, you guys. The ice guy's like, no call, no show. See.
Patricia gets a phone call. Hello, this is Patricia Altschul. What? No call, no show? Wow.
Absolutely disgusting.
So TJ is like, I mean, we all go through shit away from work, but we also show up and we do our job. And Lake's like, yeah, where's your home training to walk past your place of work with a boy that talks shit about you after you did a no call, no show, making everything about you, just like when you ruined my birthday night, no call, no show.
So Michaels is writing her up for no call, no show. And he's like, when we're short staffed, it affects everybody. I'm triggered. And so outside, Joe's like, wow, Frigga Wicked, I mean, well, just walk by. She was like a no-call, no-show, but like she was carrying a charcuterie tray. They're going somewhere. Yeah, she has like makeup on. So
she called someone and she's showing up with somewhere. So then Maddie's like, no, no, she walked by. No. He's like, yeah, she had like makeup on. They're like going to dinner and stuff. You're lying. Like, LO fucking L. Like, yeah, no, she walked by. Really? When she's like a no call, no show? Are you serious? Are you fucking serious right now?
Yeah, like if you don't have the courage to call out sick, at least take an Uber to like go around the block. Or like, why did you do that? Like, where are you gonna be a no call, no show? Like, at least like go down the block around the Uber.
So then Molly, we see people working and stuff. And Molly's like, I mean, I'm really tired and I'm here. Do you know how many wedding things I had to do? I had to put pictures in a book. Okay, roll the scene from last week. That was a huge scene.
They're like, it's a bride saying, our wedding planner literally just did a no call, no show. That is the worst thing you can do on a wedding day.
So then she's like, well, I guess she's not too upset to post selfies on her story. And we see, I mean, she's like, oh my God, look at the steak. It's amazing. We're having such a good day night. Hey, Will, who's your wife? And he's like, waitress. Will.
Emmy's, Molly's like, Emmy is an idiot. That's a big line that's being crossed right now. Posting an Instagram story of a steak when you no called, no showed.
Yeah. So then Maddie is like, oh my God, Siobhan, what the fuck? Like, I don't fucking believe it. Like, how can you go on a date, but like not show up to work? It's like disrespectful of us all. You know, we're having to pick up our slack. Like, I put like 3 vowels on the board today. 3.
Michaels is like, it's like a big fuck you. Like, it is like walking into a room and TJ hasn't even given you a random coffee. It is such a fuck you.
You know what? Being vindictive is going to cost you your job, because like, who's going to win? Me or you?
It's Michael's world. That's such a Southern hospitality thing to say. It's Michael's world,
baby.
Baby. I thought it was Grace Lily's world. Well, it's Michael's world now.
So then we go to TJ, and he's talking to Mike, the executive chef, and they've been working on something. So let's have a meeting with Leva.
Okay, I needed some Leah, the CEO, realness in here. Why did they not bring Leah, the CEO? Okay, who cares about Leva? Bring in Leah.
Like, or at least have Leah with Leva. Like, this feels like something the CEO should know about, too. Because you know that hopefully we'll get a scene where Leah's going to say, wait, what's going on? Someone is selling hot dogs on my watch and I wasn't told about this. Let me tell you something. Not only does the buck stop here, so does the hot dog. I need to be fucking CC'd on every hot dog, bun, and ketchup packet that comes through this joint, because I am Leah CE motherfucking O.
So the premise of my idea is to drive business to the bar, because I got a hot dog cart and then I can sell hot dogs like maybe once a month or so on Sundays.
And Love is like, yeah, I like that. That's great.
He's like, yeah. Okay. Well, here's printouts. Okay. I brought stuff for you to look at. The cart's on the backside. Look at the cart.
She's like, oh, that's cute. I'm sorry. I'm getting a call from Leah, CEO here. Leah, go ahead. You're on.
Hi. It's me, Leah CEO. Hot dogs. How about I'll be the judge of that? Bring some dogs. I'll tell you whether they're hot or not. You don't know shit about this business. I'm the judge of what a hot dog fucking is, you little pissant. And if you think for one fucking second you're going to park a cart here without the proper paperwork and the proper permits from this city, do I look like I'm going rogue? Do I look like I'm ready to run from the fucking food cops? No. You better do it, and you better do it behind the tape, bitch.
Let me tell you something else. Oscar Myers, Nathan's, I fucked them both and they couldn't handle it. So come on, bring it.
So she's like, wow, exciting investment, TJ. I don't think I've ever met anybody who said, wow, I've saved some money. I think I'm going to get a hot dog stand.
He's like, yeah, I want to sell hot dogs once per month. She's like, dare to dream. Dare to dream for your once per month hot dog flash sale.
He's like, well, so, I'm 33, but that's like 50 in gay years. So I'm basically dead. So I have to do something. And he's like, yeah.
Now here's where he's smart, because he knows how this Bravo shit works. He's been to LA. He's seen the Disneyland of restaurants that go up and people just want to go in and pay $20 for a terrible drink and then get their merch. Right. So he's like, well, I've put a lot of money into merch. So I think that's what he's really doing. He's going to have some hot dogs, but he's also going to be able to sell merch that has nothing to do with Leva.
Yeah. He's like, okay, so I have some printouts. Okay, here's the concept, Leva. Okay, we're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have buns. We'll put the hot dogs in the buns. It'll be a hot dog that we're going to sell. She's like, okay, great. So he goes, I've always had a huge passion of owning my own business. And, you know, a gay guy selling hot dogs, you know, like that would be like amazing. And we could call it like something wieners. And so I came up with like Sir Wiener, because it's actually the pet name I used to have for my ex's wiener. So it's like a wiener's. And Leva's like, okay, so what else do you want to show me? I think I understand the concept of hot dogs. He's like, boom. July 17th is National Hot Dog Day, and I want that to be launched. So like a weenies and teenies event. She's like, so you're going to make hot dogs? Yeah. I have a chef here. And so you need a chef to tell you how to make hot dogs? Yeah. You don't know how to make hot dogs, but you want to do a whole event. You bought a hot dog cart, but you don't actually know how to make hot dogs. You know, you just cook them and put them in a bun. Okay, well, I didn't really think about that part.
It's so funny. She's like, wait a minute. So you got my very experienced chef who you can't afford
to do James a hot dog Beard cart. Winning chef of Republic Bar and Grill.
Yeah, I know. How's he ever going to live this reputation down? He works at Republic. So TJ's like, well, I mean, I've had him help me a little bit, like just with the menu and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I mean, there's some tweaks that we can do, you know, like we really need to work on the bun and meat ratio. She goes, oh my God, he's doing you a solid, TJ. Trust me, you cannot afford this man. Okay. You cannot afford him. Listen, how long did it take you to come up with the muscles and the broth? He's like, 18 months. She's like, see what I mean, TJ? Good luck. Good fucking luck.
Well, I was going to ask for your permission to use the chef for a day, and I would pay for him. Like, I just would like pay for him to show me how to put a hot dog into a bun. It's just, it's so confusing to me how to make them.
I love that. He's like, yeah, I'm here to worry about the meat to bun ratio. It's going to take some work. What are you going to change the slice of the hot dog? You going to change the slice of the hot dog bun? It's a pretty standard thing, sir.
I hate to break it to you. I'm pretty sure the hot dog industry has figured out the ratio. That's why the buns are all a certain size and the hot dogs are a certain size. I think this is settled.
So she's like, what? Well, first she seems like she's going to be mean to him, right? So she's like, you can't afford him. And he's like, well, I was going to just ask your permission to use him for a day, you know, and I'll pay him, you know, I'll pay him for my side. And she's like, but she's actually positive. She's like, what TJ's doing right now is like what I really want from these kids, you know? Like, if they have aspirations, that's healthy. But, like, they forget. Like, starting a business doesn't come with, like, a staff of 10. I mean, ask Oscar Mayer. That man is one of the most stressed people ever in history.
Well, so I feel like this is going to be, like, a 200-person event with, like, friends and family. Also, I will be going to a mikveh and converting to Judaism just so I could really nail the Hebrew national element of it. She's like, okay, you know what? I think you're like not really thinking this all the way through. Like, you don't need to like do all that. He's like, is it too many wieners? She goes, no, it's just, it's a big bite. to, you know, like a lot to chew. The puns, hot dog puns. I like it. I like what you're doing there, Lava.
It's like, no, that's not what I was going to say. I was just going to say it's a big
dick down your throat. I know. That's like, you should, that's actually on a sweatshirt. So it's funny that you would say that.
It's a big Joe Bradley moment, you know, hand on the wiener, right? What are we talking about, Ronnie? I don't even know. Like, I feel like I'm just like making, like, I'm just, this scene is so funny that there's this like sit down scene about like, God, like, Leva, I would like to sell hot dogs. Like, he's acting like he is like going to start a pop up menu with like doing tasting courses. Like, it's,
I think she's more ridiculous because really he's just saying, listen, I need to make a little extra money. I got a hot dog cart. I think it would be perfect for the business. Can I do that? She's the one who's acting like, oh my God. She's like, I know you're thinking like it's just hot dogs, but it's going to be like a lot. I mean, you're going to have like 200 people waiting for hot dogs. Like, what does that mean? Who's going to make the hot dogs? How much hot dog goes in a bun? Like, how big are the buns? You know, it's like logistics. Like, where are they going to stand in line? I mean, producing that amount of hot dogs in a cart, like, who's going to do your cart? Because it's not going to be the chef. And he's like, you're confusing me. She's like, yeah. But then, like, are you going to have somebody juggling hot dogs? I mean, that's a big deal. You know, people like juggling. So now you have to get a juggler. Well, you're not using my juggler. So
have you reached out to Bronwyn Newport? She's kind of the hot dog person of Bravo at the moment. Is she going to get mad at you? Will she send you an angry text? Will she nod at you a lot? I just feel like there's a lot you have to consider here. She goes, oh my God, I really put a lot of money into this merchandise in the cart, and now Leva's throwing all these other ideas at me. Okay, she's basically saying, okay, it's cool that you make hot dogs, but like, have you thought about like how many hot dogs you're going to have? Do you know where people are going to line up? Are you prepared? Like, they're actually like pretty basic things to consider. And he's like, oh my God, I have to have more than 10 hot dogs. I just feel like I have literally put the cart before the horse, and this is not what I thought was going to happen.
Well, he's got the cart, so he paid $10,000 for this cart. Can I just say right now that's overpriced? We see a picture of the cart. I think he overpaid for the hot dog cart. Don't you? I mean, I don't know what hot dog carts go for, but that looks like a lot. Can't you get like a trailer or something for that?
Where do you keep the cart? Like, and how do you transport it? Does the cart live on the premises? Do you have to like roll it down the street every single time? I have to say, by the way, I love this idea. You know, if I'm drunk and there's hot dogs I can order, I will be ordering hot dogs. I'm a huge hot dog fan.
Well, we're LA people too. I mean, I'm sure a lot of cities have this, but you come out of a bar in LA, there's a hot dog lady outside singing the hot dog song. It goes like this. Hot dog, 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 hot dog.
Very similar to the Grace Lilly Come Into Republic song.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
It's my favorite song in Hollywood. Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
It's a mashup.
And yeah, it is a good idea. And here's how you do it. They already have the carts for it. They're all over the city. And you just, it's like a little hot tray thing. And you cook the hot dogs. And then you have onions and all the vegetables going over here. And you can have like 20 at a time on there. And then you start just dressing them with whatever they want. It's not that hard. They're making it sound like, oh my God, hot dogs, meat to bun ratio. Come to Hollywood. Also, we'll show you.
Hot dog carts, those hot dogs are boiled, right?
No, like, not the ones in Hollywood. They're the one seen what I'm talking about, right?
No, the ones in Hollywood, there's like a flat top, and they're like literally, right. but the hot dog cart that he got, it's like the old timey thing. It's that big metal thing where you lift up the top of it and you reach in, you pull out a hot dog. I'm assuming there's like boiling water in there where the hot dogs just kind of like do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he should have done the flat top, because the flat top, you also get the scent. So the scent will permeate things and people will want to come over and get hot dogs. As opposed to like,
and the big winner is the onions. It's the caramelized onions and everything that you put on top of the hot dog.
Like a boiled hot dog is fine. Like that's how my mom used to always make them. And so like, I'm fine with the boiled hot dog, but when they're like grilled, you can honestly put them in a toaster oven. They'll be delicious. Like,
can I tell you the best hot dog? The microwaved hot dog. They're amazing.
Well, I just think of the Cosby Show when they went to like Eldon and Sandra's apartment, like in some place in New York City, and they put a hot dog in the microwave and the hot dog exploded and they all jumped under the couch because they thought someone was shooting a gun. That's what I think of when I think of microwaved hot dogs.
Well, listen.
Are they really good?
Everything, you've got to get your microwave timing right. Yeah, they're delicious. Cut them down the middle, microwave the fuckers. They're amazing. They poof up
a little bit. I had no idea. Yeah. I didn't know that was really like a thing. So, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, micro a hot dog. So she's like, listen, I'm your Oprah right now. I want you to be successful. Okay. I really want this to work for you. Because like also people are coming into my space to have your dog. So like I'm a little bit hard on you right now. And that's why you're getting all the hot dog questions, you know? But the big thing about food is the margins are small, so it can be tricky, you know? Like it's scary. Like hot dogs are like $97 now. So you're gonna really have to upcharge these hot dogs. Okay.
She's like, I can see that you're nervous. Your face is like red, you know. He's like, I know, but to be fair, this is kind of like my standard face anyway. That's true. We need to get this man a vacuum stat just to calm him down.
He's like, do you think that there's a return policy on hot dog carts? I'm terrified right now.
Maybe pitch the idea before you buy the hot dog cart in the future. Just saying.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So now we go to Emmy and Will at Will's parents' house, and she's getting ready in the bathroom. She's like, I don't want to go to work. I'm just tired. Like, I don't want to fight, you know? Like, the whole group attacked me. Like, they came for our relationship. It was, like, traumatic.
And he's like, well, I think like all that was because it's like, wait, I am talking. Okay. I am talking right now and also preparing a charcuterie in this bathroom. Okay. Here it is. Enjoy it. Anyway, I'm going to see everyone right now. And I'm so annoyed. He's like, you're kind of yelling a little. She's like, I don't care. I am tired. Clearly. And after the lake house, I needed time to myself. I needed to reset myself. And as you can all see, I am very reset right now. I am so reset and relaxed.
Like, I just couldn't work. I was like, fuck this. Like, I needed to reset myself. And like, you know, like, I literally thought I was going to punch something. But now, like, look at me now. Like, I'm so peaceful. I can't wait to just go and be peaceful and just work. Because that's what I'm there to do. I'm just there to work. Like, who would be insecure? Like, the man is literally kissing the ground. Will, why did you just put a bag over my head? It's like, oh, sorry. So sorry.
I'm literally going to have a panic attack. So he's like, so then how are you going to work? I don't know. I'm going to cry. I could literally cry right now. Oh my God. I'm going to cry at this moment. So now everyone shows up to work, and Emmy walks in like, you know, like whatever, here I am. And everyone's like, oh my God, the queen has arrived. Molly says, the queen has arrived. And I'm saying that sarcastically. So Emmy's like doing her makeup, and Molly's like, oh, so I'm so glad that she could join us at work today. That's nice of her to be a not no call, no show person today.
TJ's like, wow. Like, I understand where she's coming from, but that was huge. I mean, you know, there's a famous quote that we've heard on this show. You fucked up, Joe. You really fucked up. So now Emmy's just going around everybody like, hi, like, I'm totally fine. Hi, how are you guys? How are you guys doing tonight? Do you want some alcohol? I'm really fine. Everything's going great. I'm so happy in my relationship. What can I bring you?
Yeah. Everyone's like, I can't believe how normal she's acting. That's cause like, oh. So she's doing the sign and everything. And Maddie goes, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I was angry about like you not showing up on Thursday. Like, I just like understand if you were like mad at like Michael's or Brad or like TJ or like whatever, but the person you were fucking over was me and the girls. I mean, look at Cloris Leachman back there. Look how angry she is. She always read that way.
We didn't get to see her face today. They're like, come on guys, we have to do a sign without Emmy here. And the girl was like, all right, I'll do it.
All right. You need me. I'm here. Did someone say that?
I was about to have my 19th Capri, but you know what? I can wait.
Guys, duck is not spelled with an X. All right, here's the C. So,
like, no call, no show. Are you fucking kidding me? And I mean, it's like, I mean, my whole point is just like, I don't feel comfortable talking to Michael. It's like, you know what? I didn't want to see everybody after the past week because, like, how it hurt my mental health. Like, ouch, my mental health literally hurts. Like, I just took the bandage off my mental health this morning. So, like, dude, like, I mean, I have to do what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? Like, I cried every day this week. I'm not even lying to you. Okay. There's mascara literally all over my carpet.
Yeah, but like you going out to dinner and like walking by and stuff like doesn't give mental health at all. She's like, I mean, it was just like I just needed to isolate myself. I was having a mental health day, but I also needed my mental health to be tended to by a steak. So Maddie's like, yeah, but like I feel like you were still like talking to me and like so my feelings would definitely hurt. So like you know what I mean, you know, like LOL.
Yeah. She's like, that's not who you are. Like, no call, no show. That is not like you. So I'm like, dude, what the fuck? She goes, yeah, my whole point, like, I'm just like freaking out. Okay. So like self-isolation. She goes, okay, let's just give me a heads up next time. She's like, okay, it's never going to happen again. I'm like, love you.
I love you. I love you.
So now we go back to the party and Brad checks in with Emmy and she's like, I mean, I'm at work. So that's good. Like, I'm in the happiest time of my life. Like a whirlwind romance, right? But like, you know, like I'm just like sick of everybody giving me a piece of their opinion and like their mind. And like, I've opened myself up to that. And that was a problem. So now I'm closing it down. Shop is closed. Okay. So like, I'm here to work. So if anybody wants to ask me a question, they can suck my fucking dick. How about that?
Okay, well, a few days ago, Joe and Will and I, like, we all grabbed dinner together to hash everything out. We see a flashback to that dinner and everything and asking if, like all this stuff. And he goes, it was done and dusted, not a problem. But there's a boundary there between me and Emmy. And Emmy's like, if people want to talk about me refilling juices and cutting limes, then fine. I will talk to them about that. Because he's like, well, can you do that? She's, I can do that. And you want to ask me about anything else? You can. He's like, fuck off. He's just, fuck off. Noted. So then Michaels comes out and he's like, hello, we are still in Michael's world, baby. Emmy, I need you to come with me in the back. We have to talk about some things.
Yeah. He's like, so, Emmy, she's like, yeah. He's like, well, like you didn't show up on Thursday and that left me short staffed. With that being said, unfortunately, I have to give you this letter and, you'll see it's pretty harsh. Sorry about that. She's like, hold on, let me read it. You fucked up, Joe. Yeah. So that's how we write up people now.
Yeah, but like Leva knew I wasn't coming. It wasn't a no call, no show. It was a call Leva, no show. Okay. Leva knew. And Emma says that she had reached out to Leva, and Leva then we see Leva, she goes, I did not know. There would never be a situation where you would tell me that you're not coming to work because I am not your floor manager. I am the owner, and I'm also someone who knows a lot about hot dog sales. And so, like, Michael, yeah, we go back to...
Yeah, well, I told Leva, and he's like, well, actually, Leva has a piece of paper for you, too. You want to read that? Hot dogs are hard? Sorry, that was for TJ. So you really need to communicate with your manager, because there's a chain of command here. You know, it's basically like the army, all right? And guess what? Congratulations. We're now letting hot dogs fight for us.
Well, I understand there's a chain of command, but like after the past week, the way my manager, aka you, attacked me at a lake house made me hysterically cry. Like, sorry, Michaels. And he's like, you have to communicate that. Like, okay, you have to communicate that you would not be able to attend your shift. I'm sorry. That's what you have to do. And she's like, at this point, I didn't feel comfortable. Yeah. And I understand that.
That's not what it's about. Who waits to be comfortable before calling in sick to work? It's not about your fucking feelings. It's a job, lady. He's like, yeah, I get it. But like, we have to put business before our friendship. So regardless, I need you to sign this. Okay, well, I don't even know that hot dogs are hard. Sorry, that's the wrong page.
She takes the pen really angrily. She's like writing it really angry. And he says, in almost a year of being in this position, I've never once had to deal with something like this. Oh, well, I did have to write up TJ for he's giving me too many coffees. Like, I was gagged. But Emmy has now crossed both boundaries with us being friends and with me being her manager. And there's just no coming back from Michael's world.
So now we go to the hot dog cart setup.
and a photo shoot for Sir Wieners. And we're doing a Vanderpump Rules throwback where they're like, let's do a photo shoot for Vanderpump Restaurant, a Sir restaurant. But this one's for the hot dogs. And it's basically like everybody in a much scaled down version of Lisa's pool catching hot dogs in their mouths.
Because, you know, I know if I'm like hanging around Charleston and I go onto social media and I see an ad for hot dogs, I'm like, wait, stop everything. Someone selling hot dogs somewhere in the city. I am going to there. I will get those hot dogs right now.
A guy just got a hot dog to the face in a pool. Delicious. Can't wait.
So everyone is like taking photos with the hot dogs and stuff. And TJ is like, I worked with Republic DMG's chef and helped create this menu, which, hear me out, hot dogs, buns, ketchup, mustard, relish, onions. Yeah, we're innovating over here. And you know, the hot dog, like they're all named after close friends. And I really wanted to get that image across to everybody. So like, what better way than to have like a fun photo shoot? So we see them all taking photos and they all have like little names. Like, for instance, Molly is the meanie weenie and Brad is the dumpster dog, things like that.
Brad by a trash can with his pants around his ankles. I love that Brad just let that one go. Was fine with you calling him the dumpster dog. And then they're just like dropping hot dogs in the pool and stuff. And like, oh my God, it's the soggy wiener.
Yeah. And then TJ's like, it's kind of sad that Emily and Will aren't here. I mean, I didn't invite them, but like, do I want them here? Yes. You know? And like right now.
So TJ to be like, that is really sad they're not here. Wait. Yeah, I didn't invite them. Fuck them. It's really, I'm having so a really hard time.
It's so sad they didn't come here after I didn't invite them. They're both doing no call, no shows to my hot dog photo shoot. It's so disappointing.
Yeah, he's like, wow. I mean, I never thought there would be a world where Joe Bradley is here, but not like me and Will. It's almost like I'm like going through friends. It's like I'm fucking over all my friends at the same time lately. It's totally crazy. So Brad's like, you know, the people that we love the most aren't here, you know, but I guess the photo shoot went well. And now I hope this becomes a plot line where Emmy's like, we're supposed to be friends and I'm not even your hot dog ad on Instagram.
You don't even have a hot dog named after me. How about like lawyer hot dog, lawyer wife hot dog? So TJ's like, yeah, Joe actually helped me out a lot today. And I needed to figure out like how I was getting this hot dog cart here. And like Joe went to the U-Haul with me. And then he touched my wiener, just the actual hot dog this time. And we see Joe helping out with the hot dog cart. Brad's like, that was nice of him. He's like, yeah, I really feel like he was trying. It's nice to see that a hot dog cart can mend friendships.
Yeah. And he goes, so you guys talked? And he goes, yeah, we talked and stuff. Like, I mean, I felt insane, but like he was pretty honest, you know, and he admitted there was a situation. And Brad's like, because whatever Brad knows, we don't know. So Brad's like, so wait, he acknowledged that something happened? And he goes, yeah. He's like, wow. I mean, that shows growth, like massive leaps and bounds and steps. I mean, I love that he was real about all of that because that's really hard to do. That's actually really brave of him. I was like, okay, someone needs to ask Bradley what the hell happened because Bradley knows. Bradley's like, he basically came out of the closet on TV. What?
So for those who are catching up, okay, so this is Southern Charm in Southern Hospitality in a nutshell. So Joe and TJ, Joe is straight, TJ is gay, they are best friends. One night Joe gets really wasted, cuddles, perhaps grabs TJ in a certain way that TJ now thinks that Joe is gay, telling everyone that Joe is gay, that girls shouldn't date him because he's gay. TJ basically falls in love, but then Joe, one day he's swimming, he gets drunk, he gets concussed, and maybe something happens in his brain, and he feels like, you know what, it's time to settle this. In my concussed state, I'm going to go and sit down with TJ, and he says, look, I may have touched you or whatever, but I really wasn't that deep, and I'm sorry that you've been feeling things, and they say, well, how do we have to mend this friendship? How do we mend this friendship? And then one day, Joe helps TJ move a hot dog cart down the street and everything is good again.
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful. Much.
So he's like, well, I mean, he still played it off like he was drunk or whatever. And he thought I was a girl. And Brad's like, well, you don't look like any girl that I've ever touched. Just saying. So then we go to, you know, shots of this party or whatever. And then and was, Joe's like, wow, like this is us, like making hot dogs. Like, this is what I'm looking forward to. Like, yeah, oh no, so we go to their house.
Then we go to this
together. Sorry.
Yeah, we go to Joe's
and they're cooking dinner. And he's like, yeah, one of the things I'm looking forward to most in life with Maddie is like settling down and, you know, like cooking at home.
Yeah. And they're going to be, I have to assume, cooking Nanny's chicken parm, because they're breading chicken and they're trying to fry it. And he actually just like totally burns it and stuff. It's totally burned in the oil. So they're going to throw it out. And she's like, oh, come on, Joe. All right. You know, Joe's whole identity is wrapped up in being Italian and cooking these Italian family recipes. But that man cannot cook. And then on the heels of her saying that he cannot cook, she takes the pan full of hot oil and puts it under the faucet and nearly burns down the entire house.
So she's like, yeah, I mean, these gigs I'm getting recently are like crazy. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, remember like 3 hours ago when you got a big deal with the Zoot Group at Resorts in Vegas?
cut to TJ pushing his hot dog cart across the country. He's gotta get to Vegas for Maddie's gig.
So then she's like, Vegas is top tier hospitality, and the fact that I'm playing there, this is like beyond bucket list. And Joe's like, well, like, look, I just want to have a romantic time with you in Vegas. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, we can make it romantic. Like, people get married there, you know? And she's like, okay. And he's like, yeah, now you're making me dinner. I was supposed to cook. She's like, it's okay, Joe. Don't even try. What are you thinking about, Joe? Why you look so glum there? And he's like, I'm just like really excited about your career. Like, I wanted to take off. But like, what if I'm left behind?
Yeah, existential thoughts. She's like, I just am like scared because like you're doing all these gigs and I want you to get all the gigs, but I can't be with you at every gig. She's like, so? But like a little part of me fears that like you're gonna like outgrow Charleston, and like I just feel like you already have a bit of cabin fever in the small town, and I love it here. And like, I don't know. I want to be your home base. Joe, here's what you do. If you love this girl, you let her follow her dreams and you just follow along, because you can be your home base no matter where you are. Okay, Joe?
This is trouble. This is doom for this relationship. When he's like, but I want to have a family. She wants to just like tour the world being a DJ. Just cut it now.
Yeah. And also, don't be Adrian Grenier and Devil Wears Prada. Okay. Go on the road with her. Support her. What do you have to leave here? Like a low level job at Republic? No, you'll be fine.
I'm sure I've said this before. I just don't think she's into him. I just don't see it.
I think she wants the same energy
as she had when she was with Trevor. She's just like enjoying him as her friend and stuff. And I'm not saying like there's no attraction. I don't know. I'm not feeling
it. She likes toxic men, and she's had this toxic relationship. So she's with Joe because she feels like it's like Carl with Lindsay. It's like, oh, this is what I need right now. This means for me to be in this relationship means that I have moved forward. I've broken my cycle of like bad men, and I'm growing up, yada, yada, yada. But
it's nothing we all go through where it's like, well, you know what? Maybe this isn't the best, but at least it's not the worst. And I just need to not be with the worst. And so this is what it is, you know? So I'm dating a nice guy. So it's a little boring. It's okay. I'm happy. This is what it's supposed to be. And it doesn't mean it has to be boring just because he's not toxic, but she doesn't know that yet. She's a baby. So
also, by the way, Joe, if you want to be the home base, I'm sorry, Ronnie, but, if you want to be the home base, Joe, you better start learning how to make better chicken for when she's done with her gigs. Okay. So like pull up on your end.
So then Maddie arrives at Grace Lily's house, and she's like, oh my gosh, she's coming over. Jesus told me this is gonna happen. I was like, Jesus, stop humping Buddha's legs. This is crazy. Bob Marley's here. I'm gonna get her a charcuterie. So
and she just opens like a store-bought thing of carrots and some celery and throws it on the table.
Well, I'm really excited to test out my new song with Grace, and I want her to perform. And we see a flashback of Grace Lily's recording session where she's like, hey, 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 yeah, what's up, club, yeah, 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 going down, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Maddie is like,
there's too many lines to this song, I'm just saying.
So Maddie's like, well, you have to come to Vegas and perform, and you know, like, will you have time to practice? And she's like, oh God, I know the song. I was like born ready for this song.
So then she's like, okay, let's practice it. And she starts playing it. And Grace Lily's like, not getting the words at all, but just like, yeah, yeah, putting her hands in the air. She's like, see,
got the Grace Lilly magic right here. It's what it is. Everybody loves it. It's going to be fine.
So then they go over, we cut to an arcade where Michaels is going on a date with that guy, Preston, who he was making out with at his birthday party. So Preston, I don't know, I got a terrible vibe from Preston. I was like, please, Michaels, do not waste your pretty on this person.
Really? He just went insta-public with him. So I think they end up together.
Well, I still stand by what I said. Yeah. I'm getting bad vibes. Bad vibes are over here. This is, to me, this is like, I just see codependency. I see drunken fights. I say, no, Michaels, you can do better.
So he's like, yeah, I've known Preston for a while and we've hung out. But like, anytime I see him, I get like I feel like a high school kid with a crush. Look how excited I am.
It's all over my face. So then they're like, they're doing like all this fun stuff because like Preston is one of those guys who's like, what game do you want me to go beat you at? So they are do like bumper cars and the water gun game and then splashing. Michael splashes water on Preston and Preston's like, oh my God. Even though I was continuously looking for a relationship, I never had a boyfriend. So I'm like a little hesitant when it comes to that because I don't really know like how to navigate that or like what that would look like for me. So that's why it's like kind of hard for me to like relax, like not be anxious, but I know that there's chemistry, so that's good.
So he has some nacho cheese on his mouth and Preston wipes it off and he's like, are you gonna lick it off? And he's like, I'm really more of a birthday cake guy. So how's your family? And he's like, still hates me. So he talks a little bit about how when he came out, his mom like disowned him and won't really speak to him anymore. And fuck her.
Fuck her big time.
Just, yeah, publicly. And he's like, I don't think that it's ever going to be the same with him. She's never going to forgive it. And he's crying. And I hope he's this excited. Lady is so shamed by her fucking community. I really hope she is. Fuck off, lady. Okay, get your shit together.
Yeah, I mean, here, like Michaels seems wonderful. I mean, it doesn't even matter if he's wonderful or not. She should always accept him. So, but on top of that, like, she's clearly, like, here's this, like, wonderful person in your life that you're not even giving love to, who deserves all the love in the world. It's just so vile. I can't believe that there are parents that still do this. I mean, I can. Unfortunately, I can believe it. But it's heartbreaking to hear these stories over and over again. And watching him sob there on TV, it's really, really breaks your heart, you know? So he just really feels like he can't even trust in relationships because his own mom basically doesn't even, you know, accept him. And the producer asks if there's a day when he wonders if his family will ever accept him. And he's like, no, I don't think my family will ever accept me. And that's just like, that is like such a heartbreaking thing to have to carry within you. It's like, it's
fuck terrible. That bitch. Okay. So now we go to Lake's house. We see what everybody's doing in Charleston. Emmy's doing yoga. Lake is painting. Austin's getting dressed. We see Austin's abs, which are really why he was cast. And it was good casting. They're good. And then TJ's like, oh, hey, Molly, saw you drunk at a bar. She's like, yeah. So then they're talking about what they need for this Vegas trip. And Maddie's like, oh, my God, it's so amazing. Everyone's coming to support my DJ gig. Oh, my God. You cannot get a hot dog cart on carry-on, TJ. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And Molly's saying how she had one too many espresso martinis today, and now she's irritable. And she just wants to be in bed with a slice of pizza. So then Austin, who hasn't really done much this season, finally decides to enter the fray. And he's like, so I was out last night and I ran into a couple of people who just like graduated law school. And they've been going to the same law school as Will. And like, I heard some shit about him. And I don't know if this is like, I don't know, but like, you know, maybe I should just leave the room. I'm going to leave the room. I don't want to hear anything else. It's like, come on, Austin, say what it is. And he's like, I straight up was told that he hard cheated on Emmy, like fucked somebody at a party.
Hard cheat. It was not a soft landing. I found it out yesterday, and I just happened to like stumble upon this information while I was lifting logs in the forest. Like, you would be shocked how many people just kind of wander through the forest to gossip. I mean, I wasn't looking for it. And just like, wait. Okay, you know these people that told you this? Like, are they people you know from like around town? Or are they just forest people? Are they like sprites? And he's like, yeah, but they also go to the city. Are they credible? He's like, totally trustworthy. Have you ever known a forest sprite that's not trustworthy? Like, they would have no reason to tell me that. Like, why would they lie? Unless it's that girl from last year. Remember that girl? God, I love that girl.
He's like, Sammy.
He made out with me. Trevor made out with me.
Yeah, Sammy. Sammy. Holy shit, dude. It's been like a bunch of times now that we've heard some rumor about Will being like weird and unfaithful towards Emmy. And like, as his friend, I want to not believe it. And as Emmy's friend, I definitely want to not believe this. And as someone who can make nannies parm, I really don't want to believe it. And as someone who actually went, Joe, stop it. We get it. You don't want to believe it. It's fine.
I am literally shaking. I should not have had coffee before this because, like, I'm cracked out on coffee, Coke, and now this. This is a lot, you guys.
And just like, dude, like, this, like, honestly, it breaks my heart from here. Yeah. And Austin goes, yeah, Snowball's about to make a fucking avalanche.
We don't get it. And that's it. That is the end of the episode. So, yeah, this shit show is continuing to unravel for Will and Emmy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will not make
a difference. Of course Will's cheating. Of course he is. Of course he's got a full-on girlfriend. Oh, so sad.
And Emmy is just going to dig her heels in. So we will see how this all pans out. Thanks, everyone, for being here. And we'll be back with more Southern Hospitality next week. And we got Traitors coming up tomorrow or today, whenever you listen to this. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.